إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في كتابه المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. وقد قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما ورد عنه: أنتم تتمون 70 أمة، أنتم خيرها وأكرمها على الله. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama, respected brothers and elders, indeed it is an accepted fact and it's an irrefutable reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has greatly blessed us, Allah has honored us, Allah has favored us by creating us in this auspicious and noble ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every prophet, every messenger, rather every human being to come in this world fully acknowledges the virtue of this ummah and the lofty position and rank this ummah enjoys in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. This ummah is the best of ummahs, the best of nations. أُخْرِجَتْ, taken out for the hidayat, for the guidance of entire humanity. أَنْتُمْ تُتِمُّونَ 70 أُمَّةٍ, أَنْتُمْ خَيْرُهَا وَأَكْرَمُهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ. This ummah is the most honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. This is an ummah of i'tidal and moderation, a moderate ummah. Hiya ummatun marhuma. This is an ummah of mercy and rahmat. Allah's special mercy envelops this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, Ahlul jannati 20 wa 100 saf, 80 min hadhi al-ummah. On the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, there will be 120 rows, 120 safs of people will go direct to Jannat, direct boarding pass to Jannat. 80 safs, 80 rows will be from this noble ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. نَحْنُ وَالْآخِرُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This ummah is the last ummah to come in this world, yet the first to enter Jannat. Jannat is haram upon every ummah of the past. Until this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not enter Jannat, this is the honor this ummah enjoys in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in various places, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. That person who will bring forth one good deed, that person will perform one good action, one amal, Allah will grant him 10 rewards, 10 blessings, 10 nekis for one action. This is the international law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the qanun, the law of Allah that prevail on earth from the inception of humanity until the arrival of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in this world and he requested Allah, Ya Rabbi zid li ummati, Ya Rabbi zid li ummati. Oh Allah, increase the reward for my ummat. Oh Allah, increase the reward for my ummat. Oh Allah, make the reward more than 10. Allah says, okay my Habib, okay my Nabi, for ya ummat, man ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له أضعافا كثيرة. That person who will spend in the path of Allah, that person will give Allah a good loan, that person will spend in charity and sadaqah, Allah says, I will multiply his reward for him. I will increase his reward for him. فيضاعفه له أضعافا كثيرة. Allah will multiply his reward many times. This is exclusively for this ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rabbi zid li ummati, Ya Rabbi zid li ummati. Oh Allah, increase the reward even more. Allah, increase the reward more. Ya Allah, increase the reward even more for my ummat. Allah says, okay my Habib, okay my Rasul. For ya ummat, مثل الذي ينفق في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة. That person will spend 1 rand in the path of Allah. That person will spend 1 rand or 1 cent in the path of Allah. Allah will grant him the reward of spending. Allah will grant him the reward equivalent of spending 700 rand. Allah will grant him the reward equivalent of spending 700 rand. This is exclusively for this ummah. Look at the vast gap, the major difference. Where's 10? Where's 700? Allah says for this ummah, that person will spend 1 rand in the path of Allah. Allah will grant him the reward of spending 700 rand. If it was you and I, we would have been very content and happy. But our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still not very content, not very happy. Ya Rabbi zid li ummati, Ya Rabbi zid li ummati. He says, oh Allah, if you increase the reward more than 700, if you increase the reward even more for my ummat, oh Allah, all the better for us. We will gain, you won't lose. Allah said, okay, my Habib, for your ummat, innama yuwaffa as-sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab. Allah says, their reward is upon me. It's my responsibility to give them their due reward. Their reward has no limit, no account, no hisab kitab whatsoever. This is only for this ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, we presently witnessing this auspicious and noble month of Ramadan, and perhaps many of us discharge our zakat. We discharge our zakat in this noble month of Ramadan. Let us for a moment compare our zakat, the zakat of this ummat, to the zakat of the previous ummat. What was their zakat like? Previous ummats, the previous nations, the ummat of Musa alayhi salam, etc., 10% zakat was farz. 10% zakat was compulsory on the wealth. That person who owed 100,000 rand, he had to pay 10,000 rand zakat every year. Every year he had to give 10,000 rand zakat. Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, Allah says 2.5% is sufficient. 2.5% is enough. The previous ummats, their zakat would be taken. Then their zakat would be put on the peak of a mountain. A fire would come. And that fire would devour the entire wealth of their zakat. This was a sign to show the qubuliyat, the acceptance of their zakat. Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, Allah says the wealthy must pay zakat and the poor must receive the zakat, so that the poor ones of this ummat may enjoy and benefit with the wealth of zakat. This is a ummat of mercy and rahmat. Allah's special mercy comes upon this ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Daily in this month of Ramadan, we observe the farz fast. We partake of sihri around 5 o'clock in the morning. Then for the entire day we abstain from eating and drinking. Again we partake of iftar at maghrib time. Perhaps many of us again after Taraweeh we have some light snacks, etc. This is our fast, this is our Ramadan. Whereas the initial hukam, the initial law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fasting, for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, likewise the previous ummats, the previous nations, their fast would be from Maghrib till Maghrib, which was effectively from iftar till iftar. A person was only allowed to break his fast by having iftar. As soon as he goes to sleep, the next day's fast commences. The next day's fast begins for him. This was the fast of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. One Sahabi by the name of Qais bin Sirmah radiallahu an, a normal regular laborer working in the farms of Medina Munawwara, the entire day he would toil and work in the farms of Medina Munawwara. On one occasion he returned home quite late, extremely tired and exhausted. He inquired from his wife, "Hal indaki ta'am? Is the food ready? Is the iftar ready?" She replied in the negative. فَقَالَتْ لَا وَلَكِنْ أَمْطَلِقْ فَأَطْلُبْ لَكْ. She suggested to him, "Then wait a little while. Wait a little while until I prepare the food, until I prepare the iftar." The Sahabi sits down, he lies down. Soon thereafter, his eyes closed and he falls asleep. His eyes closed and he falls asleep. His wife sees him in this condition. Khaybatan laka ya Qais, khaybatan laka ya Qais. Oh Qais, you have destroyed yourself. He wakes up in a shock. What's the matter? She tells him, you've fallen off to sleep. Hence, your next day's fast has begun. The next day's roza has commenced for you. Nevertheless, the Sahabi continues fasting. No sihri, no iftar, the entire day working in the farms of Medina Munawwara. He continues fasting. The next day, Zuhr time, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him in this pitiable and weak condition. Oh Qais, what has happened to you? Ma bika, what has happened? He says, Ya Rasulullah, last night I returned home very late. I was extremely tired and exhausted. Whilst waiting for the food to be prepared, my eyes closed and I fell asleep. And therefore could not partake of iftar and sihri. Allah reveals the following verses, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيِّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَضِ مِنَ الْخَيْتُ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. O Ummat Muhammad, O Ummat Muhammad, Allah says, eat and drink from iftar, right until Subh Sadiq, right until Sihri. This is a concession Allah has given you and I. Allah has made our fast, Allah has made our roza easy and simple for us. The Banu Israel, the Ummat of Musa alayhi salam, they weren't allowed to speak to anyone. They weren't allowed to talk whilst fasting. If perchance, mistakenly anyone spoke or engaged in any conversation or discussion whilst fasting, his fast would then be nullified. His fast would be broken. فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. This was the fast of the Banu Israel. Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if they had to speak lies whilst fasting, the fast is still valid. The fast is still accepted. This is the fast of the Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Ummat of Musa alayhi salam, the Banu Israel, If anyone committed a sin or crime during the dark hours of the night, the next morning after Fajr Salah, the next morning, that sin he committed would be written on the door of his house. Fulan amila bikada wa kada al-bariha. So and so person has committed a certain action last night. And in this way he would be exposed and then humiliated and disgraced. Everyone would come to know about the sin he committed. Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fusaq, the sinners, they disobey Allah openly, they sin openly, Allah still conceals their sins. Allah covers their sins, Allah hides their sins. Why? This is a ummat of mercy and rahmat. Allah's special mercy envelops this ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When our mother and father, Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, when they ate from the tree which Allah forbade them from eating, when they ate from the tree which Allah prohibited them from eating, Allah immediately snatched away their clothes. Allah took away their clothing so that they feel the pain, so that they taste the pain and the repercussions of the crime they committed. Allah makes mention of this in the 8th para. فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says, they began taking the leaves of the trees of Jannat. They began pulling the leaves of the trees of Jannat. And they began covering their bodies with the leaves of Jannat. No clothes to wear. Allah took away their clothes. Why? Because they committed a crime. They disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fusaq, the sinners, they disobey Allah, they sin in a naked condition, in a naked state. Allah still gives them clothes to wear. Allah still gives them clothes to wear. This is an ummah of mercy. Allah has honored this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has favored this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect, even when it comes to the aspect of taharat and purity. Kana banu Israel, idha asaba ahadahum al-bawl, qaradahu bil-miqrad. The ummah of Musa alayhi salam, the banu Israel, if any impurity, any najasat, any urine or excreta came upon their clothing, the hukam, the ruling was, qaradahu bil-miqrad. A person was commanded, he was ordered to cut off that entire piece of material. He was commanded to cut off that entire piece of material to purify his clothes, to make his clothes park and pure. Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, yakfihi al-ghaslu thalathan. Just wash it 3 times and that's sufficient. That's enough. Allah has favored this ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Nu'aym rahmatullah alayhi, a very great and renowned muhaddith of his time, he narrated a lengthy incident of Musa alayhi salam on the authentic of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. That one day Musa alayhi salam, whilst he was in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya Rabbi, wajadtu fi hadhi al-alwah ummatan hiya khayru ummah ya'muruna bil ma'ruf wa yanhawna 'anil munkar wa yu'minuna billah. Rabbi ij'alha ummati. Qala la tilka ummatu Ahmad. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, I've read in this Torah, I've read in this book and scripture of mine about such a nation, such a ummah will come prior to Qiyamah on this earth. They will enjoin good, they will forbid evil, they will bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says they will be the best of ummats, the best of nations. Musa alayhi salam, he says, Ya Allah, make this my ummat. Make this my ummat. Allah says, No Musa, this is the ummat of Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, referring to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa alayhi salam then says, Ya Rabbi, wajadtu fi hadhi al-alwah ummatan idha hamma ahaduhum bihasana thumma lam ya'malha kutibat lahu Rabbi ij'alha ummati qala tilka ummatu Ahmad. Musa alayhi salam, he says, Ya Allah, I've read in this Torah, I've read in this book you have given me about such a nation, such a ummat will come on this earth. If any one of them intends to perform a good action, if any one of them intends to carry out a good deed, and then he is not given the ability, he is not given the tawfiq to carry out that good deed, the reward is still recorded for him. The reward is still written down for him, based on his intention and his niyat. Musa alayhi salam, he requested Allah, he says, Ya Allah, make this my ummat, make this refer to the Banu Israel. Allah says, No Musa, this is the ummat of Ahmad sallallahu alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam then says, Ya Rabbi, wajadtu fi hadhi al-alwah ummatan yu'minuna bil kitab al-awwal wa bil akhir wa yuqatiluna fudul al-dhalalah hatta yuqatilu al-a'war al-kadhab. Rabbi ij'alha ummati. Qala la tilka ummatu Ahmad. Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, I've read in this Torah about such a ummat, such a nation will come before Qiyamah. They will bring iman in all the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will bring iman in all the scriptures, and they will fight the people of falsehood. They will fight and kill Dajjal, who will be an apostle, who will be a liar and a fabricator. Musa alayhi salam, he pleads to Allah, he begs Allah, he says, Ya Allah, make this my ummah, make this the Banu Israel. Allah says, No Musa, this is the ummah of Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa alayhi salam then says, Ya Rabbi, wajadtu fi hadhi al-alwah أمة أناجيلهم في صدورهم يقرؤونها رب اجعلها أمتي قال تلك أمة أحمد. He says, Ya Allah, I've read in the Torah about such an ummah who will come before Qiyamah. They will commit the entire book to memory. They will memorize the entire book of theirs. Previous ummahs, the previous nations, it was not the riwaj, it was not the custom and the habit to memorize the Torah, to memorize the Injil. This is the ni'mat and blessing of Allah upon this ummah that we are able to memorize the entire Quran. Nevertheless, Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, they will read the entire book of this by heart, from memory. Oh Allah, make this my ummah. Make this my ummah. Allah says, No Musa, this is the ummah of Ahmad sallallahu alayhi salam. He then says, Ya Rabbi, wajadtu fi hadhi al-alwah, ummatan هم المشفعون المشفوع لهم يوم القيامة ربي اجعلها أمتي قالت تلك أمة أحمد. He says, Ya Allah, I've read about such an ummah, such a nation will come before Qiyamah. Their Nabi's intercession, their Prophet's intercession and shafa'at will be accepted on their behalf on the day of Qiyamah. Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, at least make this my ummah. Make this the refer to the Banu Israel. Allah says, No Musa, it has already been decided and predetermined. This is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam then says, قال قتادة فذكر لنا أن موسى نبذ الألواح وقال ربي اجعل لي من أمة أحمد. موسى عليه السلام says, Ya Allah, if this is the case, then make me from the ummah of Ahmad صلى الله عليه وسلم. But Allah did not accept his dua. Allah did not accept the dua of Musa عليه السلام. Rather, Allah accepted the dua of Isa عليه السلام. And therefore, we read in the ahadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that Isa عليه السلام, he will descend before Qiyamah as an ummati, as a follower of the Sharia and the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will then implement all the ahkam, the injunctions and the law of the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because now he will be coming as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, Musa alayhi wa sallam made this dua, Allah did not accept his dua. You and I, without any supplication, without any dua, without any prayer, without any request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah made us from this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we carefully follow this entire narration of Musa alayhi salam, if we follow this entire narration and incident of Musa alayhi salam, we would infer that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this narration, likewise in the Torah and the Injil, he would be referred to as Ahmad. He would be called Ahmad, which is also one of the beautiful names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لي خمسة أسماء أنا محمد وأنا أحمد وأنا الماحي وأنا الحاشر وأنا العاقب. He had five blessed, beautiful names. Muhammad, Ahmad, Mahi, Hashir, Aqib. These are the five beautiful names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama write that Muhammad means someone who is often praised. الَّذِي يُحْمَدُ كَثِيرًا. Someone who is often praised, the praiseworthy one. Ahmad means الَّذِي يَتَحَلَّى بِصِفَاتِ الْفَضْلِ فَيَحْمَدُهُ النَّاسِ. Someone who is highly praised. Very similar meaning. Muhammad means someone who is often praised. Ahmad means someone who is highly praised. Just to digress a bit, the linguists and the ulama, the scholars of the Arabic language write that those letters, those huruf, those alphabets in the Arabic language that have no nuqtas, that have no dots, no diacritical points. For example, lam, ra, mim, dal, no nuqtas, no dots. They are the strong letters in the Arabic language. They are the strong letters. They are jamid, they are qawi. They are very strong alphabets. Contrary to those letters, those huruf, those alphabets that have dots, that have nuqtas, that have points. For example, ta, tha, jim, kha, dhal, zal, ya. They all have dots. They are the weak letters in the Arabic language. Now take the name Allah. Take the name Allah. How many letters? Four letters. Alif, lam, lam, ha. Four letters. Allah. Any dots, any nuqtas, any diacritical points? No nuqtas. Four letters, no points, no dots. Take the name Muhammad. Meem, ha, meem, dal. Also four letters. Allah, four letters. Muhammad, four letters. Any nuqta, any dots, any points? No. Meem, ha, meem, dal. No nuqtas. Take the name Ahmad. Also four letters. Allah, four. Muhammad, four. Ahmad, four. Any dots, any nuqtas, any points? No dots, no nuqtas, no diacritical points. Also four letters. Take the entire kalima, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, any nuqtas? La ilaha illallah. No nuqtas, no points, no dots. La ilaha illallah, 12 letters. Muhammad Rasulullah, also 12 letters. Muhammad Rasulullah, any nuqtas, any dots, any points? No dots, no nuqtas whatsoever. This is the beauty of the name Muhammad. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ هَمْنَ تَيْرَ ذِكَرْكُ بُلَنْ كَرْدِيَا. We have raised your name on the earth. We have raised your name on the earth. Whenever you hear someone reciting the first part of the kalima, La ilaha illallah, automatically Muhammad Rasulullah comes out on the tongue. This is the beauty of the name Muhammad and Ahmad. Nevertheless, Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, make me from this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. But Allah did not accept his dua. You and I, without any supplication, without any sacrifice, without any request, Allah created us, Allah honored us, and Allah made us from this auspicious ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, Huwajtabakum. Allah has selected you, Allah has chosen you, Allah has handpicked you, and Allah has created you in this noble ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are three words used in the Arabic language. One is ikhtara yakhtaru. Ikhtara yakhtaru, which means to select the best. To choose the best. Wallahu yakhluqu ma yasha wa yakhtar ma kana lahum al-khiyara. For example, when you go to a fruit and veg shop, you choose the best item on the shelf. You select the best product. Any product, any item that has any defect or fault, you discard it, you throw it aside. You choose the best fruit, the best apple, the best fruit. This is the meaning of ikhtara yakhtaru. The second word used in the Quran is istafa yastafi istifan, which means to select someone, to choose someone who has some potential, who has some capability, who has some salahiyat. Allah uses this word for His malaika. Allah uses this word for His anbiya, for His prophet. Allah says, Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusulan wa min al-nas. Inna Allah astafa Adam wa Nuha wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imran. Inni astafaytuka bi risalati wa bi kalami. Allah uses this word for His malaika and for His anbiya, which means to select someone who has salahiyat, who has potential and capability. The third word used in the Arabic in the Quran, ijtaba yajtabi ijtiban, which means to select someone, to choose someone for some task, for some job, for some effort, for some work of yours. Allah uses this word for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, wajahidu fillahi haqqa jihadi, huwajtabakum. Allah says, strive in the path of Allah, because Allah has selected you, Allah has chosen you, Allah has handpicked you. For what Allah selected you and I? To eat and drink, to fight and bicker over petty issues, to waste our time in play and amusement? No. Allah selected us for His ibadat, for His worship, and to do the great effort of Anbiya alayhi salam, to go person to person, door to door, and invite every person towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to invite them towards the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the effort of Anbiya alayhi salam. Wallah, there are millions out there who are thirsty. They are thirsty to learn about Islam, but there's no one to quench their thirst. No one to quench their thirst. There are millions out there who want to learn about Islam. They want to learn about this Mubarak and beautiful deen and way of life, but there's no one to show them the way. Last year after Ramadan, a very simple, ordinary Jamaat from Johannesburg, from the Gauteng province, they made effort in the Natal area, and then the Jamaat was returning to Johannesburg. So they decided, they made mashura, and they decided that first they will first go to the beach, they will spend a few minutes at the ocean, and then they will leave for Johannesburg. This entire Jamaat went to the beachfront, and time for Salah was up. So the entire Jamaat performed Salah in congregation, in Jamaat, on the sand of the beach. This person was giving kar guzari in the Johannesburg Markaz. He says, Wallah, we could see everyone staring at us. We could see everyone looking at us. What are we doing? He says, there four people approached us. One was a Hindu. Four people approached us, and they said, we want to be like y'all. We want to pray like y'all. Who are y'all? And on the sand, on the beach, they recited kalima, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This is the beauty of Islam. This is the beauty of our salah. We need to present the beauty and the values of Islam before the disbelievers. One Jamaat was doing gush in one of the foreign countries. They happened to knock at the door of one person. From inside, he shouted out, who is there? Who has sent you all here? So they replied, Allah has sent us. Allah has sent us. He asked, has really Allah sent you all? They said, yes, Allah has sent us. So he immediately opens the door. He welcomes them inside. He tells them, sit down. He then shows them four frames that he had hung upon his wall. Four frames. One was a frame of a synagogue, one of a church, one of a temple, and the last frame was a frame of the Baytullah, the Holy Kaaba. He then takes out a rope and he tells them, for the last 6 hours I was contemplating of committing suicide. I'm fed up of living. I want to kill myself. He says, I put these four frames over here. I addressed the Almighty God. I told God, Whichever frame is upon haqq, whichever frame is the truth, make the people of that frame come and save my life. He says, 6 hours had gone by. I gave myself few seconds chance, and I heard a knock on the door. I asked y'all, who sent you all? Y'all replied, Allah has sent you all. If y'all came few seconds later, you wouldn't have found me living over here. This is the condition of the ummah nowadays. Therefore, we need to go person to person and invite them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to inspire them towards the oneness and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an accepted ummah. This ummah has been taken out for the hidayat and the guidance of entire humanity. If we study Quran, we will infer that many ummahs of the past, many nations of the past were totally destroyed. Many ummahs were first cursed by the anbiya. They were first cursed by the prophets and then totally destroyed and annihilated. They were removed from the surface of the earth. كذبت عاد للمرسلين كذبت ثمود للمرسلين كذبت قوم لوط للمرسلين كذبت قوم نوح للمرسلين كذب أصحاب الأيكة للمرسلين. Many ummahs were destroyed. Many ummahs of the past were totally destroyed and removed from the earth. Many ummahs were first cursed and then they were destroyed. For example, the qawm, the ummah of Nuh alayhi salam, رَبِّ لَا تَجْعَلْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّ عِبَادَكْ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. He cursed his entire ummah. He cursed his entire nation. Only a few were saved from the punishment and the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it came to this noble ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we read in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the day of Taif, yasilu min wajhi dam, blood oozing from the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa huwa yamsahu an wajhi dam, he's immediately wiping off the blood from his face. وهو يقول اللهم اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون اللهم اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Oh Allah, forgive my nation. They are ignorant. They do not know. But oh Allah, you forgive them. This was the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On the day of Arafah, during the final Hajj, Hajjatul Wada, 6 hours consecutive dua. 6 hours musalsal consecutive dua from Zuhar right until Maghrib. Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati, wallah forgive my ummat, wallah pardon my ummat, wallah overlook the shortcomings of my ummat. Sometimes his hands would be in line with his chin, sometimes in line with his chest, sometimes towards his right, sometimes towards his left. Only one dua, Allahumma ummati, Allahumma ummati. Before Maghrib Salah on the day of Arafah, Allah gives him the glad tidings. Oh my Habib, oh my Nabi, I've forgiven your entire ummah, except ظُلْمَ بَعْضِهِمْ لِبَعْضٍ, except for the oppression and the zulam your ummah will cause. Allah says, I will never forgive zulam, I will never forgive the oppression your ummah will cause. If it was you and I, we would have been very happy and content. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, still not very happy, not very content. Why? He had fikr and concern even for the zalims. He had fikr and concern even for the oppressors of this ummat. Next day in Muzdalifa, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Allahumma in shi'it, a'atayta al-madhluma min al-jannah, wa ghafarta lil-zalim. Wallah, forgive the oppressors of my ummat. Wallah, forgive the zalims of my ummat. Wallah, include them also in your maghfirat and your forgiveness. Do not exclude them. Wallah, you repay the mazlumin. You repay those who oppressed. You repay them on behalf of the zalims, on behalf of the oppressors, but do not exclude the zalims and the oppressors of my ummah. Allah says, okay, my Habib, I've forgiven your entire ummah, including the zalims of your ummah, including the oppressors of your ummah. This is the honor Allah has given this ummah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, let us study the history and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us study his noble biography. Let us study his mubarak life. If we have to test our minds, if we have to examine our brains, how much do we know of different celebrities living in this world? How much do we know of different cricket players or soccer players? Many of us would be able to speak for hours about them. He was born here and brought up there. His school year and he made his debut there. But when it comes to the greatest man on earth, when it comes to the most noble human to ever be born in this world, Muhammad ibn Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murrah bin Ka'b bin Lu'ay bin Ghalib bin Fihr, bin Malik, bin Kanana, bin Khuzaymah, bin Mudrikah, bin Ilyas, bin Mudar, bin Nazar, bin Mu'ad, bin Adnan, bin Muqawwam, bin Awad, bin Nahur, bin Tayrih, bin Ya'rib, bin Yashjib, بن ثابت بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم عليهم الصلاة والتسليم. When it comes to the greatest man on earth, when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of us will not even be able to speak for 5 minutes about his Mubarak life. Allah speaks about the disbelievers. Allah speaks about the hypocrites. Allah says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They know everything about this world. They know how to operate the latest technology in this world. But when it comes to the knowledge regarding Akhirat, when it comes to the knowledge regarding Deen, بَلِدَّارَكَ عِلْمُهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, then their knowledge fails them. Their knowledge fails them. They don't know much about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the condition of the disbelievers and the hypocrites. And unfortunately, this has become the condition of many Muslims nowadays. Therefore, let us study the history and the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We busy enjoying harvesting the crops that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has planted for us with His sacrifice and His qurbani. But still we fail to read His seerat. We fail to read His Mubarak biography and lifestyle. We fail to follow His Sunnah. And therefore this Ummah is presently being bombarded with atrocities and difficulties. This Ummah is being lashed from all sides. History and Tariq will bear testimony. History will bear testimony that from the inception of this Ummah, ila yawmina hadha, until this day of ours, this Ummah never faced such great challenges like how this Ummah is presently facing. The reason for this, the cause for this, is because the Ummah has left and abandoned the Mubarak lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and instead this Ummah has adopted and chosen the lifestyle of the West and the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who draw cartoons of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only solution for us is to come back onto the Sunnah and the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This Ummah is a very noble Ummah, a very Mubarak Ummah. Unfortunately, this Ummah, the condition of this Ummah is daily deteriorating and dropping day after day. If one has to compare our condition to the condition of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if one has to practically compare our condition to the condition of the early ones of this Ummah, one may doubt the fact that we are from one Ummah. One could doubt the fact that we are from one Ummah. One may believe or think that we are from two different Ummahs. Like how we vie with one another, we compete with one another to earn the materials of this world. We fight over the materials of this world. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they also vied with one another. They also competed with one another, but to earn higher and greater darajat and ranks in the year after. This was the condition of Sahaba, this is our condition. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I always tried to compete with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Every time I tried, I failed. Every time I tried, I failed. Because Abu Bakr was Abu Bakr. Until the occasion of Tabuk came, it was extremely hot. It was time for harvesting the crops and dates of Medina Munawwara. The suffer and journey to Tabuk was a very long, arduous and difficult journey. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the Sahaba to contribute whatever little they had. Umar said, today I'm going to beat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Today I'm the winner. Aaj khattab ka beta jeet gaya. Today I'm successful. Today I will show Abu Bakr Siddiq. Umar said, I went back home. I divided all my belongings, all my goods. I made it into two parts. I left half of whatever I possessed, half of my entire wealth. I left half for my family, and I contributed half for this great battle and ghazwa of Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu said, with a lot of himmat and courage, I was waiting for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask me, O Umar, what have you brought? What have you contributed? He said, then I saw Abu Bakr Siddiq, he brought and he contributed whatever little he had. Umar said, I said to myself, today I am the winner. Today I beat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what had transpired in the mind of Umar. So instead of asking Umar, what have you brought? He asked him, Umar, what have you left behind for your family? O Umar, ma khallafta, ma tarakta li ahlik, ma abqayta li ahlik. O Umar, what have you left behind for your family? Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, taraktu mithla. I contributed half of my entire wealth and I left behind half of my entire wealth for my family. Abu Bakr, ma khallaft. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, what have you left behind for your family? What have you kept aside for your family? Abu Bakr replies, taraktu lahum Allah wa rasoola. O Messenger of Allah, I've left Allah and His Messenger for my family. I've left Allah and His Rasul for my family. I brought every single thing and I contributed every single thing for this ghazwa and expedition of Islam. This was the condition of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They would compete for Akhirat. They would struggle for the Akhirat. You and I, we sin, we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we don't feel any guilt for the sin we committed. We don't remorse and regret over the crime you committed. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if any Sahabi by chance, mistakenly, accidentally, if any Sahabi committed any sin or crime, he would lament and remorse for the entire life. For the rest of his life, he would cry and make tawbah for the sin he committed. This was the condition of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That guilt that he would feel in his heart would force him to acknowledge and confess the sin he made and to request the Nabi of Allah to give him the punishment and had he deserves. Sahaba said one day he was sitting in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذْ جَاءَتُ إِمْرَأَةٌ, when suddenly a woman enters the masjid. She comes and she sits before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she whispers to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam something. He says, Ya Rasulullah, أَصَبْتُ حَدًّا فَأَقِمْهُ عَلَيْهِ. O Nabi of Allah, I've committed zina, I've committed adultery, and give me the punishment I deserve. Sahaba said, we saw the face, the color of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changing color. We saw his face changing color. We could see a worry and fikr and concern in his face. He told her, irji'i ila ahlik wa astaghfirillah wa tubi ilayh. Oh my daughter, what are you saying? Go back home, return, make tawbah istighfar, make tawbah istighfar. This woman, she wakes up and she returns home. Sahaba said, next day, we're sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see the same woman entering the masjid. Ya Rasulullah, la'allaka radattani kama radatta ma'iz ibn Malik. Innaha hubla min az-zina. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I am pregnant. The signs are quite clear. I committed the act. I committed zina. And therefore give me the punishment I deserve. Again, we saw the color of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changing. He told her, auntie, are you really pregnant? He says, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He tells her, go back, return. After you give birth to this child, come back to me. Then I will decide. This woman wakes up. She returns home. For 9 months, she carries this child in a womb. For 9 months, she carries this child in a womb, knowing that after she gives birth to this child, she will have to leave this world. She undergoes the difficulties, the pains that a woman generally endures at the time of pregnancy. Sahaba said, after 9 months, we see the same woman entering the masjid. She's carrying in her arms a little Yasum, a Masum, handsome, beautiful baby, wrapped up in a shawl. She presents this child before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, there's this child of mine. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells her, oh my daughter, go back home. Breastfeed this child. When it's time for weaning, after you've weaned off this child, then come back to me. For 2 years, she breastfeeds this child. 2 years, she nurtures this child. She looks after this child. She feeds this child. She clothes this child. She pampers this child. This child has no father, only one mother. Sahaba say, after 2 years, we see the same woman coming back. She's still feeling the guilt of the crime she committed. She's still feeling guilty. She's still regretting the crime she committed. After 2 years, we see the same woman coming back to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A young little masum child holding his mother's hand. He had some few pieces of bread in his hand. And she presents this child before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, there's this child of mine. I'm ready to sacrifice my life. Now I have no excuse. This child is now eating, he's drinking on his own, and therefore I'm ready to sacrifice my life for the name of Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatul lil alameen, sent as a mercy for entire humanity. He looks at his masum, sinless child. He tells, oh my Sahaba, may yakfulu hadha sabi. Who will look after this child? Who will nurture this child? Who will feed this child? Who will clothe this child? Who will take the responsibility to care for this child? One Sahabi from the Ansar says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm ready, give me this child. Nabi alayhi salam gives him the child, and then this woman is stoned to death. She gives her life. She gives her entire life for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After she is stoned, after she leaves this world, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam says, لَقَدْ تَابَتْ تَوْبَةً لَوْ تَابَهَا صَاحِبُ مَكْسْ لَغُفِرَ لَهُ. This woman has made such a tawbah before Allah. She has made such a tawbah that even if a zalim oppressor who oppressively collects tax from the people, even if he has to make such a tawbah, Allah will forgive him. One narration states, لَوْ قُسِمَتْ تَوْبَتُهَا مِنْ بَيْنِ سَبْعِينَ لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ. If her tawbah has to be distributed among 70 people of Medina, If a tawbah has to be distributed between 70 people of Madinah Munawwara, her tawbah will suffice for 70 people. This is the tawbah of this woman. My respected brothers and elders, let us make sincere tawbah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah for all the sins we committed. Let us feel guilty for the sins we committed these Mubarak nights. Let us cry and repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us try and understand and realize our status in this world. Who are we? We're the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're the greatest ummah on earth. Not any ordinary ummah, not any normal ummah. It's a very great and noble and auspicious ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us realize our status. There can be no title greater than the title of ummati. We're the ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anbiya alayhi wasallam made dua to be part of this ummah. Let us therefore portray the true image of Islam. Let us portray the true image of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah protect this ummah. May Allah help this ummah. May Allah guide this ummah. May Allah forgive this ummah. May Allah grant one and all the tawfiq and ability to practice and whatever has been said for this entire month of Ramadan. May Allah inspire one and all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.